Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well, and I hope you're ready to consider the idea of being fit for the kingdom. Thank you, Braden, for reading that text for us. Are you into fitness? You can tell I'm into fitness. What are you laughing about? I'm like that one guy said, yeah, I'm into fitness, whole pizza in my mouth, and eating that thing. That's the kind of fitness I'm kind of in. But what kind of fitness is Jesus talking about here? Put your hand to the plow and do what? Look back. What in the world is he talking about? Well, the whole context, he's talking about commitment. Are we committed? That's what he's asking here. That's what this portion of the Lord's word is about. Someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now, if it was one of us, we might have said, oh, I really appreciate that. I came to try to get people to follow me, and I'm sure glad you're following me, and I want to encourage you to follow me. That's not what Jesus said, though, is it? What did he say? He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. What is he telling this individual who's saying he'll follow him wherever he goes? He's saying you want to do that, you have to make a commitment to do that. And it's not necessarily going to be easy. There's a song that talks about serving the Lord. It says, it's a battleground, brother, not a recreation field. It's a fight and not a game. And I think that's what Jesus was saying to this individual who was saying they would follow him. Another comes up and says, follow me. Or he said to him, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. What's that all about? Allow the dead to bury the... Who are the dead who are going to bury the dead? Well, he's talking about people who have not yet found their way to God. Let those people who are not serving the Lord lay those in the ground who have physically died. But you come and you preach the gospel of this kingdom. Another said to him, I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Sounds like a reasonable request, doesn't it? Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's when he said what he said about putting your hand to the plow. He's trying to make the point that if we want to follow him, it's all or nothing. We make our commitment to him. And that sounds harsh, perhaps, to some. But did you hear what Carrie was talking to us about as he was preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper? By the way, Carrie, I wish you just put a little more passion into the things you said up here. That would be great. Just a little more. Yeah, right. But the reality is, if you and I are in Christ, our whole being is serving him. When you go to work, you serve the Lord at work. When you go to school, you serve the Lord at school. How do you do that? By having church at school? By having church at work? No. You are the light in school. You are the salt in your workplace. You are a city set on a hill. And if you're willing to make the commitment, you're fit to follow Jesus. He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for faithfulness. He's saying, I want you to be loyal to me. No other gods. Wasn't that one of the Ten Commandments? That means there's nothing in your life as important to you as God Almighty. Nobody is going to take his place in your mind, in your heart. Your standard of living, your standard of how you judge what's right and what's wrong comes from the Lord. That's how you keep his law. And so Jesus is asking, are you fit? Are you fit? Are you willing to make a commitment to me as the one and only true and living God? Don't you believe God wants you and me to be fit? I believe he does, and I don't mean, I mean, I thought, you know, look in the mirror, I'm going to button my jacket. Well, I've had this jacket a long time. It's a little snug. I didn't know that until this morning. I tried to button it up. Oh, that's a good, well, aren't you glad this isn't the kind of fitness Jesus is talking about? You go to the gym and you work out and you come back and you weigh more than you did when you went. How does that happen? I don't know. They say muscle weighs more than fat. Well, great. That's why I weigh 200 and none of your business. There's never anything I've read in the Bible that says you need to keep your body in shape. Now, Paul wrote something about physical exercise profits a little bit, but spiritual exercise is eternal. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Spiritually, where are you in this world? Are you going to follow me and make me the only one you follow? Or are you going to be distracted by everything else that's going on and make those your gods as well as me? He doesn't want that. That's what idolatry was. Yeah, we'll worship this God, we'll worship that God. We'll throw Jesus in there too. No. Jesus will pull himself out. He doesn't want to be one of your panoply of gods. He wants to be, is that the word, panoply? Look it up. That's your homework assignment now. But Jesus doesn't want to be one of many. He wants to be the only one. And he says that's the only way this is going to work. And he wants us to be fit. But he wants us to be fit, and he doesn't just leave it to us. If you look at Romans chapter 12. By the way, who wrote this letter to the church at Rome? The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome. Would you think that Paul was fit for the kingdom? Now, we might have looked at him and said, well, what's he doing when we first meet him? He's standing by while people stone Stephen to death. He's holding the coats of those who are killing a man who just preached the gospel to them. Maybe he's not fit, but God saw things differently. Because what Paul would say later is a clue. Paul would say later, even when Stephen was being stoned, that Paul lived in all good conscience. Because he thought stoning Stephen, it realized this guy's risen from the dead. Where do you think he found that out? Maybe it was on the road to Damascus when the risen Lord appeared to him, spoke to him, blinded him for 3 days. And Paul goes and he waits for 3 days and he doesn't eat anything and he doesn't drink anything. And then the preacher comes to him, Ananias. And he says, what are you waiting for? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that's what Paul does. And from that point on, he's got his hand on the plow and he is not looking back. And he's fit. Look at all the things that he does. Don't you wish you had the talent and the skill and the ability and the mindset that Paul had? I don't know how many times I've read about him and read his words and thought, who am I? But when you look at the letter that he wrote to the church at Rome, you get to the 12th chapter, and this is what we read. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Hear what he's saying here. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Who is the each? Well, that's every single member of the church at Rome. Who's the each today? That's every single one of us. If you're a member of the Lord's church, if you're part of the kingdom of God, God has allotted to you a measure of faith. What's he mean by that? Well, keep reading with me. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. All of these things are gifts. And this is not an exhaustive list. I'm going to read in my Bible, but what I'm going to read in my Bible now is in the margin because I listed things that I found to be gifts from God. Here they are. Hospitality. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there's some of you folks just love to have people into your home. For others, it's a nightmare. Oh no, somebody's coming to my house. We're on both sides of the aisle when it comes to that, but somebody's got that gift. And you enjoy doing it. That's why. That's what makes it a gift. Or it's a gift because that's the way it works. Gifts are good things, are they not? Yeah. Especially from God. The gift of knowledge. The gift of wisdom. The gift of leadership. The gift of exhortation. The gift of mercy. The gift of giving. The gift of helps and service and evangelism. The gift of faith, administration. The gift of discernment and encouragement and teaching and prophecy and shepherding. All of these things are gifts that God gives His people individually. And you have yours. I don't know if you've discovered what your gifts are yet or not, but you have gifts. And God has given you those gifts, those abilities, those inclinations, the way you're made, the way you're structured. You have a gift. Now ask any golfer how many clubs he has. Do you know a golfer that has one club? Okay, you putt-putt people, maybe. Yeah, that's the ones that have one club. You see a golfer, he's got all kinds of clubs. And usually the clubs he has are the ones he's whittled down from a whole big collection of clubs. Ask a golfer how many clubs he's bought and got rid of. That, you see, you got to have a driver. And you really need about three drivers for different situations and circumstances, and whether or not it's Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever day you're golfing. And then you have to have your irons. I never liked irons. I mean, I'm not like I'm a golfer anyway, but irons just seems like, wow, that's... And in the first place, you're looking at a tiny little ball in a great big distance from the top because you got to swing all the way back. Here we'll come all the way in. Man, I need big clubs. The big face on them. That's the part that hits the ball. You got to have a putter. How many different kinds of putters are there? They never cease to come out with different shapes and sizes of that's just golf clubs. That's just golf clubs. Don't even ask those guys what their favorite type of golf ball is, because there's just all kinds of stuff like that. And if a church is going to be healthy, it needs an array of gifts. If a church is going to be fit, you don't have to have all of them. If you have one and you'll make it work, you're fit, and you do fit in the kingdom. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. That's what this is about today, Involvement Sunday. How can you get involved? Well, the best way for you to get involved is to be involved based on your gifts. Now, sometimes we're called on to do things that might not be our gift, might not be our strength. Maybe we're a little weak on that, but do it anyway. And it'll give you so much more of an appreciation for the things that you do enjoy doing, because those things you do enjoy doing are almost certainly going to be the things that are your gifts to do. I've got a PowerPoint, Hal made for me. We talked about this, and he's made this because we have this cool deal on our website where you can involve yourself simply by doing some clicks. Isn't that neat? You just click on stuff and you're involved. Well, you know, it doesn't really work that way. But this is how you can make some sense of it. See where this laser pointer is. Ah, yes, that's cool. Follow the bouncing green dot. On your phone over here, this is how it works on your phone. Of course, this is how it works if you've got a laptop or a desktop. But you just get on the website. Who knows what the address is for the church website? It's pretty simple. Choctaw.church. You look up Choctaw.church and you're going to be at our website. Well, here's what you see when you get to that page. You go to members, either on your phone here or over here. It's up a little bitty word up at the top on the desktop. And when you click on that, you go to this next page, which is your sign-in area. You need an email address and you need a password. And as has been mentioned earlier, we'll have folks here that'll help you with that, because not just anybody. can get on here and do anything they want. It's somewhat restricted, but we want everybody who's a member of the church to be in this and to be involved. And if you're super tech savvy like me, yeah, I know some of you laughed. You know, okay, yeah. I had them fix it up where I'm always logged in. I just click on it, I'm there. You can do that too. It makes it so much easier, so much more handy. But once you're logged in, hit that login button right there, and boom, you come to the next page. Ah, involvement. That's what we're looking at. Don't you love those pink arrows? Do they look pink to you? All right, so my eyes are good. That's the way it looks like on your phone. This is what it looks like on your desktop. Click on involvement, and then you'll get this sheet to come up. And manage volunteers, that's for folks who are in charge of different ministries. But here is a spiritual gift assessment. If you're not sure what your spiritual gifts are, you can click on that. And what this is, it's a battery of questions about things you like and dislike and enjoy. And it's got a range of responses you can make. By the way, I want to encourage you, when you take this quiz, don't do any threes if you can help it. It's 1 through 5, likes or dislikes, but stay closer to the ones or closer to the fives and be honest about it. Don't say, well, I don't really like it, but I'll do it, so I'll give it a 3. No, if you don't like it, mark it, you don't like it. It's okay, you can do that. Or is it okay to have things that need to be done that you don't really like doing? Yeah. I don't really mind taking out the trash. It's kind of easy. I can handle it. I don't have to think too much about that. Don't ask me to cook for too many people. Now, when you're done, I'll help you wash the dishes and take out the trash. But don't ask me. See, we've all got things we like to do and don't like to do, and things we're good at and not good at. But when you're filling this out, you'll figure out, these are my strengths. Normally, 3 of those will come to the top. You'll have a really good one, and then and 2 right under that. And you can kind of, these are things, and if you're like me, you'll find out what those are based on this, and you'll go, well, yeah, that makes sense. So that's what the involvement form is all about. And then just below that is, isn't it, Gatewood family a lovely bunch? This is what it looks like on their page. Your page will have your names or your pictures up there. And here's all the ministries. You just scroll down from here. Starts with education, and you've got all these options. You can click to teach an adult class. They're going to teach high school and middle school. But there's all these options you can click on. You can assist in teaching a class, or you can even down here be trained in teaching a class. And this just goes right on down in all the different ministries that are here at the Lord's Church in Choctaw. So if you want to be involved, this is an excellent way to do it. When we're finished up here, and I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon, Lord willing. Oh, yes, you've heard that before. But I really intend to this morning, so we'll have time for you to go back to that table out there. And talk to folks and pull up on your phone, or when you get home, pull it up on your home computer and fill out these forms. So if you haven't yet been involved, you can get involved. Now, one of the things I do want to say before I bring this lesson to its conclusion is we have a lot of people who are involved already, officially involved. Your name is down somewhere. But I also want to commend this congregation, because I know we've got people who are involved every day and you haven't clicked on anything, but you're working in the kingdom. You're spreading the light. You're showing love. You're doing the very things that Jesus taught us to do when we put our hand to the plow. You're keeping it up every day, and that's what keeps this kingdom going and growing in this world. It's individuals who are willing to just listen to their Lord and do what he says. And I commend you for it, because, well, you're here. This isn't one of those lessons where we preach the gospel of Jesus in the way that would necessarily exhort you to give your life to Christ. But that's what he's looking for. That's what he came for. He wants you to be fit for the kingdom, and so he's given you everything you'll need to be fit for the kingdom. Because one of these days, he's coming back. And he wants to come back and find you working in his field, so to speak. being a co-laborer with him and with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you've not put yourself in Christ, if you've not obeyed the gospel yet, if you've not submitted yourself to obeying that gospel, then we want to talk to you about that. Or if you need the prayers of this congregation, if you need to be restored in any way, shape, or form, we want to talk to you about that. Because we want everybody, if we can help you in any way, to be fit for the kingdom. That's what this day and this lesson is for. Let's stand and sing the song of encouragement.